Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. I want to talk to you today about practical Christianity. We talk about two words on this program often. I always close out the broadcast almost every day by saying, hey, shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Shine and share. We use those two words. We've put them on t-shirts at our church, and we talk about that a lot because I think those two words really capture the Christian life. Shine talks about how you live. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So the way you live, you shall be holy, for I am holy, the Lord says. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And so we are examples to people in the way we live, in the way we act and react. So that is the shine. And then there's the share. And I always think of the Gadarene demoniac that had the legion of demons cast out of him. And he was now sane and in his right mind, and he had put his faith and trust in Jesus. He wanted so much for Jesus to let him go. Please let me go with you, he said. And Jesus said, no, go to your back to your hometown and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And this Gentile went to all the cities of the Decapolis, the 10 cities, all the area there in that Gentile area of the Sea of Galilee, sharing what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So we shine and we share. And this is what the scripture says in Philippians chapter 2. Do all things, verse 14 and following, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So we shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Now Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You're going to be lights in a dark world. You're going to be salt and light, and you're going to make a difference as you shine and as you share. Well, so at the Southern Baptist Convention, I was in the expo room, and Love Worth Finding was, they had a booth, and that is Adrian Rogers' ministry, and they were giving away books, so just a small book that had about five or six sermons from Adrian Rogers that he had preached on ordination services, and he said, these have never been aired. Well, I've pretty much heard everything that Adrian has ever preached, and I was really blessed last week to have Steve and David Rogers on the program as we talked about Adrian, remembered Adrian, and you can go back afr.net and listen to that if you'd like, if you missed it. But it was an enlightening conversation as they just talked about their dad. It's kind of funny. I told the church on Sunday, I said, I had Adrian Rogers' boys on the program last week. I say, I called them boys, but Steve's 69 and David is 63, so both of them are older than I am, but they're the sons of Adrian Rogers. Anyway, we talked about things related to Adrian, and I was thinking about this book. I just finished reading. It's a short little read, Pastor to Pastor, Adrian Rogers, and in the very back, it has a little small section called Practical Ministry Ideas. And I think it is a great little teaching on how to shine for Christ. You know, we talk about that. Hey, shine for Christ. Let people see Jesus in you. How do you do that? I remember hearing one preacher one time, he said that when he would hear other guys preach, and they would preach a passage, or he would be taking notes, and then he would write down as they would preach, often he would write down these letters, YBH, yes, but how? And he said he noticed in so many sermons that the preacher is not very good at telling you, how do I do this? And so people in the pew are saying, yeah, I want to shine for Christ. How do I do it? What are some practical ways to shine for Christ so that you can be lights in the world, as the scripture says we are to be? In a crooked and perverse generation, we appear as lights, and we are the Lord's witnesses with the way we live our life. Well, Adrian has some very practical ideas at the back of this book, and it's an acronym, PACE, P-A-C-E. And he talks about keeping pace spiritually, keeping pace physically, and keeping pace socially. Now, I remember when in 2003, late 2003, I'd only been pastor at First Baptist Texarkana for less than a year. I came in February of 2003, and I received, I think it was in September, I received an invitation from Adrian Rogers to go to Bellevue Baptist Church and to be one of 50 pastors that was going to go through his training. And he was up in front teaching all the sessions, and I was so excited about that. Memphis is about a four-hour drive from Texarkana, and so Debbie and I went, and we loved it and got to spend that time with Adrian. Well, he would do a little chapel service before we started our session. It was just a little time. He'd share a little devotional, and he shared about pace in the chapel service. And here's the thing. I don't remember a lot about the actual sessions that he taught in. I mean, I know they were good, but I can't really pinpoint, okay, what stuck with me. But the chapel service stuck with me, where he shared about PACE. So PACE is an acronym. And so let's talk about pacing spiritually, P-A-C-E. So the P stands for praise. And Adrian said, you know, when I get up in the morning, and I'm going to the restroom, and he said, on my way, I will lift up my hands and I'll praise the Lord. And I'll thank him for being so good to me, and I'll praise him for the fact that he's in charge of my life. I praise him for the fact that he gave Jesus for me, and Jesus died on the cross for me and for my sins and rose again from the dead. And he said, I just start praising the Lord, and I lift up my hands in praise. And he said, now the A stands for accept. And he said, I turn my hands from the position of praise to inward, like I'm receiving a gift. And he said, A is accept, and I just let the Lord know that I accept his gift of grace. I accept his mercy. I accept his forgiveness. Adrian said one time, I've never forgotten it. He said two key words in the Christian life, grace and faith. He said, what is grace? Grace is God's acceptance of you. What is faith? Faith is your acceptance of God's acceptance of you. And so when you accept, that's to walk by faith. And you say, well, Lord, I don't feel very accepted, but your word says I'm accepted in the beloved. I don't feel very worthy, but your word says I've been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. And so I accept your acceptance of me. And so you receive that gift. And then C, he would raise his hands again, kind of like somebody had a gun in your back. So this is a stick up, you know, your hands go straight up. Well, that's the universal sign of surrender. And I remember during the first Iraqi war under George Bush Sr., George Herbert Walker Bush, when we went into Iraq, the soldiers, you know, they didn't understand the language, the American soldiers versus the Iraqis, but they all understood when they threw their guns down and raised up their hands, they were surrendering. And so C stands for control. I surrender control, and I say to the Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I want you, Jesus, to sit on the throne of my life. I want, by your Spirit, I want you to be in control. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so C stands for control. And then E, expectation. Hey, expect a great day. Why? Because you have praised God, because you know your heart is right with him. You've accepted his grace. You've gotten everything right with him. You're not holding on to any sin. You've yielded control to him. It's going to be a great day. That's how to keep pace spiritually. And then he talks about how to keep pace physically. And I like this. And Adrian was a great example of somebody that not just preached this stuff, but he put it into practice. And, you know, we're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers who delude themselves. So we keep pace. We do that spiritually. And then we keep pace personally. P stands for posture. Posture. Stand up straight. Don't slump your shoulders. Don't kind of, you know, walk like you just lost your best friend. You know, keep your shoulders up and your face, you know, moving forward, and stand up straight, square your shoulders, and just to know that, hey, I'm a child of the King, not in a prideful way, but in a praiseworthy way. And so P stands for posture. A is attitude. Keep your attitude positive. And being negative is not from the Lord. We don't have anything to be negative about. Sure, there are things going on that we don't like in our world, and American Family Radio does a great job in alerting us in the Christian community of what is taking place in the world. But hey, our attitude is one that is one of hope. God is the God of hope. Now may the God of hope, Romans 5:15-13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you're facing in life, your attitude needs to be, yes, this is hard, but God is able. As David said in Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So A is attitude. C is countenance. Countenance. What does your face look like? I had a friend of mine, Guy Dowd, he used to say this, if you're happy and you know it, tell your face. And so our face needs to shine. Our face needs to reflect the fact that we know we belong to Jesus. We know that though the battle may be raging, the war is already won, and our Lord is coming. And as it says in Philippians chapter 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of your humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. So your countenance is important. And then E is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is an interesting word. It comes from the Greek. It literally means theos, in theos, in God. So enthusiasm, think of it as in God-easm. And when we're enthusiastic, it just means we're letting the Lord be in control, and we are focused on the right goal. We have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. As it says in Philippians 4:13, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Regardless of the circumstances, Paul is saying in Philippians 4, I can face them. He says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself in. He said, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a Christian needs to be enthusiastic about life. So spiritually, keep pace. Praise the Lord. When you wake up, accept his acceptance of you, yield control to the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of you, and expect a great day. And as you walk around personally, have a good posture, have a good attitude, be positive. Your countenance, your face, remember that God is the God of hope, and you know, you don't need to despair. No matter what is going on, you don't need to despair, because the Lord will deliver and the Lord is with you. And be enthusiastic about life. God has given you another day to live and to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the last area, and that is socially. So don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about how do I shine? How to shine for Christ? Practical Christianity. As I shared in the first segment, those three letters that one pastor used to put in his Bible when he would hear other people preach. Yes, but how? YBH. Yes, but how? How do I do this? And I think for lots of us, we can hear some good sermons, but we wonder, how do I put this into practice? Help me out here so that you can give me a pattern to trace and to follow. And so Dr. Adrian Rogers did that in the acronym PACE, P-A-C-E. So as we said, we pace spiritually. First thing when you get up in the morning, praise the Lord. And that's the P. Spend time thanking God, praising Him that He's in charge of all things. Accept His acceptance of you. Accept His grace. You don't have to earn His grace. You have to accept His grace. And I think about what the prodigal son said when he came back to the father. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. That was his monologue that he was going to give to his father. And you think about it, well, you're not a son of God by worth. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You're a son of God, a daughter of God by birth, by the second birth. None of us are worthy to be God's children, but it's by His grace. So I accept His grace. I yield control, see His control, and then I expect a great day. Now, that's how you do it physically or spiritually. How you do it physically, posture, I need to stand straight. Attitude, I need to be positive. Countenance, I need to look pleasant. If you're happy and you know it, tell your face. And enthusiasm, I need to project vitality and excitement about life. And then the last area, keeping pace socially. Socially. Now, This is a really good way when we talk about shining. So the first one is spiritual. The first pace is spiritual. The second pace is personally, just how you're going to conduct yourself. And then socially, the P stands for praise. And what that means is when you interact with somebody, find something about that person that you can compliment. Maybe you meet somebody, I do this often, and I do it because of what I learned from Dr. Adrian Rogers, but praise. Hey, that's a really nice dress that you have on. What a pretty scarf that you're wearing. Oh, your hair just looks so good, especially with the senior adults in our church. I love to just brag on, find something that I can brag on about them because it makes them feel good about themselves. And what was it? Something, I said something to somebody about her hair, I think it was. I said, your hair, oh, Debbie told me this. We were out eating at a restaurant and I said, I really like this waitress's hair. Was it her hair or makeup or something like that? Anyway, and Debbie's like, don't say anything to her about that. That would be embarrassing. And so I didn't listen. And I went ahead and commented about this lady, this young lady, she was probably in her early 20s. And I said something about that. And she said, you know, I spent an hour. Oh, it was her lipstick. That's what it was, because they just look so good. And she said, I spent an hour agonizing over the colors and putting this on just so. And she said, thanks for noticing that. And she was excited to talk about it. And so just a little comment like that can really make somebody's day. So P stands for praise. Find something of the person you're talking to that you can compliment. A stands for acceptance. And Adrian says, when in a social situation, he's not talking about a dinner party, but like kind of these are walking down the hall or just seeing somebody, you know, as you're passing by type thing. Move toward them, and don't stand away from them. Move toward them because it gives the message that you accept them. I'm coming toward you. I receive you as my friend, as somebody that's worth my time. And so A stands for acceptance. C stands for concern. Show concern for that person. Ask a question about his or her life. I always think of this. When Joseph, in the book of Genesis, when he was lied about by Potiphar's wife and he was placed into the prison, he still trusted the Lord, didn't get bitter at God, still trusted the Lord, and he was made the number one trustee in the prison because God was with him. And he noticed one day when Pharaoh's attendants, Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker ended up in prison too, he noticed their faces. He noticed that they looked sad, and he asked them about that. Now, I love that because Joseph could have been consumed with his own problems, but he wasn't. He showed concern for these two guys that ended up in prison with him. He noticed their face. Hey, make it a practice in your life to notice people's faces, to look into their eyes and really look at their faces. Do they look burdened? And maybe there's something that you can do that can help lift that burden. Ask questions of concern. And then the last letter, E, is encouragement. Encourage that person. Give them a word of encouragement. Help them to know that God is the God of hope. Let them know that, hey, I'm going to be praying for you. Let them know that, it may seem very difficult right now, but God is able in this situation. And I'm going to be praying for you. Give them a word of encouragement. I remember I was at a conference one time and the speaker said, when you see in the Gospels how Jesus interacted with people, he would give people a look. He saw Zacchaeus up in the tree. He gave him a look. He would give him a word. He would give them a touch. Even the leper, nobody touched lepers. Jesus would touch the leper. You know, it was pretty interesting when we were going through the COVID-19 quote-unquote pandemic, ended up being more like a bad flu, but people didn't, don't get near me, don't stand so close to me was the theme song of so many. Don't get near me, keep 6 feet away from me, don't touch me, I don't touch you. Well, Jesus would touch the leper, and he would give a look, he would give a word, he would give a touch. I think about those three words a lot when I see people and when I meet people, because I want them to know, hey, God has saved me and he has put me in a position to pastor people, to be a shepherd, to lead and feed the flock, and to let his people know that he loves them. And I want the Lord to do that through me, to be a conduit of that. So giving people a look, giving people a touch, giving people a word. I love what Steve Rogers said about his dad, Adrian. He said, you know, after church on Sunday night, they'd all go out to eat as a family. And he said their favorite place to go was El Chico. And people would often come up to Adrian as he was eating with his family because they wanted to talk to him. And he never looked at that as an interruption. He never had this attitude, get out of here, I'm with my family, leave me alone. No, he would always be gracious to them. You know, I had a basketball coach, my basketball coach, Coach Norman Pache, and I still remember this. He taught me a lot of great things. He is a dear, dear friend to this day. And he said, when I was in high school, didn't understand, I wasn't a Christian then, but he said, it doesn't cost you anything to be nice to people. It doesn't cost you anything to be nice to people. So be nice to people. Give them a look, give them a touch, give them a word. And even as a pastor, and even if you're busy, and I've been in situations where, man, I'm on my way to someplace and I don't really have time. So don't blow people off. Just give them a hug and give them a word and let them know, hey, I want to talk to you about this problem, whatever their problem might be, but I'm really pressed for time right now. Hey, call me. Call my office and let's set something up. You can do it like that and be very gracious to them. Years ago, I read an article that was in the Houston Chronicle when I lived in Houston, and it was about Coach Mack Brown. Mack Brown at that time was the head football coach for the University of Texas. I'm a UT grad, and so I love UT football, and so I was interested about Coach Mack Brown. They used to call him Coach February, which wasn't necessarily a a great compliment, but they said, man, that guy can recruit. He's not necessarily great at getting the most out of the players he recruits, but he can recruit because he had such a charismatic personality. And they said of Mack Brown, the writer of this article, he said, when I met Mack Brown, he said, it was like it was the highlight of his day to meet me. He said it just was amazing. And I wasn't with him all that long, but he was just so engaged in me and talked to me as a person. And I wasn't an interruption in his schedule. I wasn't somebody that was taking up his time. He was genuinely interested in me and excited to meet me. I remember reading that story and I said, I want to be that kind of person. I want to be a person that other people say, man, it seemed like it was the highlight of his day to meet me. And I remember I wrote Mack a letter, never expected to get a reply back. I wrote him a letter, just said, hey, I read this article about you. I'm a pastor and this really spoke to me. And I was a young guy and I said, I want to be a pastor like that to people where people would say, you know, it seemed like it was the highlight of Jeff's day to meet me. He wrote me back, personal note. And I was like, wow, that is so cool. And over the years, got to do a chapel for the Horns when they played Arkansas back in 2003, 2004, and got to know Mack. And when my daughter Amy was heading off to college, she was looking between Texas A&M University and the University of Texas. She went to the University of Texas, and I asked one of the football coaches here that knew Mack pretty well. I said, hey, do you think Mack would give us just like 5 minutes? I'd like Amy to meet him. And Mack gave us 25 minutes in his office. We took pictures together. He had one of the coaches give us a tour of the Moncrief field house, and it was awesome. We got to see Vince Young, and I think some other players were there, and take a picture with Vince. It was just a great, great day. I was in Longhorn heaven. And Amy ended up, because of that, she ended up being a Texas Angel for her time there at the University of Texas, and she worked with the football team and helped with recruiting. It was awesome. And it's all because Mack Brown is the kind of guy that says people matter. People matter. And I want to be a person that communicates to folks that they matter. They matter to God. And so how do you shine for Christ? You do it through pace, spiritually, physically, and socially. And so that is our subject for today. I'd love to talk to you about that. I'm going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you have a testimony of that or a question about how to do that, you know, YBH, yes, but how? How do I do that in this situation or that situation? Maybe we can talk about that and see how we can do it. Here's the other thing I want you to think about. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, where the Apostle Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, without grumbling or arguing. Now, the word for grumbling, so this is a favorite word of mine, and the people at First Baptist Texarkana know because I've shared this a lot. The word for grumbling is the Greek word gongousmos. Gongousmos. It's an onomatopoeia. That's an English phrase or an English word onomatopoeia that means that the word sounds like its meaning. Bang, crash, pow. Those are onomatopoeias. Those are words that sound like their meaning. Well, gongousmos sounds like its meaning. And the word is to grumble. And the Bible says, don't be a grumbler. Don't be a gongousmos, gongousmos, gongousmos. Don't be like that. Do all things without grumbling or arguing. Why? That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You remember as Moses led the children of Israel? What was their common refrain? grumbling. They would grumble and gripe. There's nothing to eat. Where we have no water. All we have is manna, and we're sick of this miserable food. And they would grumble. Were there no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the wilderness to die? They would grumble. And Moses said, hey, you're not grumbling against Aaron and me. You're grumbling against God. God hears that. And God hates it when we grumble. Do all things without gongosmos, without grumbling or arguing, so that people can see Christ in you. Well, we have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Yeah, Jeff, you were talking about grace and faith earlier, and I was looking at Ephesians 2:8, and I mentioned it to some people in my Bible study group, that Paul was saying that it sounded to me like that faith was a gift, like grace. And they said, oh, no. So, you know, they said faith is something, you know, that you have to choose. And so I didn't understand. Is faith a gift?
Great question, Jay. And I'm trying to think if we have enough time for me to answer it. Well, I'll start and then we'll finish it up after the break. So grace is God's gift to us, and faith is our response to God's grace. And so we put our faith and trust in Jesus, or we refuse to put our faith and trust in Jesus. And so I see that as our response to God's grace. How are we going to trust Him or not trust Him? And there are people in the Bible, obviously, who did, and there are people, the rich young ruler, who didn't. And so when we come back, we'll unpack that a little bit more. Don't go away. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about practical Christianity, how to shine for Christ in a dark and dying world. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. We've been talking about practical Christianity. How do we shine for Christ, as we use that word often on this program, shine and share? How do we shine for Christ? What is a practical way we do it? And we've been talking about the acronym PACE. We pace spiritually, we pace physically, and we pace socially. And we praise the Lord, we accept His forgiveness and His grace, and we yield control to Him, and we just know that today's going to be a great day because God is in control of my life and I'm living for His glory. And then we do that physically, we have good posture, and we have a good attitude, and we have enthusiasm, and we have countenance. I got my acronym wrong. We have good attitude, good countenance, and good enthusiasm. Then we pay socially. We praise the person we're talking to. We compliment them. We accept them. We greet them with enthusiasm. We show concern for them, ask about their situation and their life, and we encourage them. We leave them with a blessing. And so Jay has called in, Jay from Texas, and asked the question about grace and faith from Ephesians 2. 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So, Jay, I would say that grace, obviously, without question, is a gift of God, not as a result of works. So it's pitting against grace and works. If it is by grace, Romans 11:6, for if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And so I don't think it's pitting faith against that faith is a gift of God. Faith is our trust, our belief, and people will be judged by God because they didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really ultimately what sends people to hell, is they refuse to put their faith and trust in the Lord and His salvation. Grace, without grace, we all go to hell. Because grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, the unmerited, unearned favor of God. And when we put our faith and trust in God's grace, that is what brings about salvation. Does that help?
Yeah. Is grace universal, Jeff? Is it offered to everybody?
I do think, because I'm not a Calvinist as it relates to those things. So I think that God has offered His grace. The grace of God has appeared to all men, as it says in Timothy, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, godly in this present evil age. And so I think that God's grace goes out to everyone. I think often, Jay, of like the rich young ruler, the Lord wanted to save that guy, but he didn't respond. And so the Lord looked at him. He felt a love for him. He sell all you have, give it to the poor. You love money, and that's your problem. And you think you've kept all the commandments, but you haven't. And so, that was why he said those things to him. That guy didn't respond to the Lord, and he went away sad. He held on to his things. He was an idolater, and he lost his soul. He's not rich. He's not young. He's not a ruler of anything now. And by all indications, he walked away from the gift of salvation, and he is experiencing the horrors of hell for that. But Jesus wanted to save him. So in Timothy, it's Titus. Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. I think he brings potential for salvation to all men. It doesn't mean all men will be saved. We know that they won't be. But salvation is available to all men if they will put their faith and trust in God's grace. Now, no one can respond to the Lord. Jesus said in John 6, no one can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. And so I believe with all my heart, I mean, people coming to Christ, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who has to open blind eyes. And Adrian Rogers used to say this, and I repeat it, I can preach truth, but only the Holy Spirit can impart truth. And so when the Holy Spirit imparts truth and opens blind eyes, then he gives people the opportunity to understand and to take that step of faith, to put their faith and trust in Jesus. I don't believe in irresistible grace, because I think that many people do resist the grace of God. Acts chapter 7, Stephen said to the Sanhedrin, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that God gives us his grace, and then he gives us an opportunity to respond to his grace. For those who respond and put their faith and trust in Jesus, there is salvation. For those who don't, they miss out on the greatest blessing a person can ever know, and that's to have a genuine personal relationship with Jesus, to have all her sins forgiven, and to have God come live inside of them by the person of the Holy Spirit. So, any other questions on that, Jay?
No, I'm just looking. If grace is the basis of salvation, you couldn't accept grace and then not accept the ability to have faith, could you? I mean, that wouldn't make any sense.
Well, if you think about faith as belief, pistis is that Greek word. Everybody believes in something. They exercise faith all the time. You get on an airplane, you're not going to get on it if you think it's going to be hijacked or going down. So we exercise faith in life, belief in life. And so, a Christian has faith that God is true to his word. God is who he says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And the atheist has faith that God doesn't exist. There's no basis to believe that. You just walk outside and say, if there's a creation here, there must be a creator. But so people exercise that all the time. And Christians have put their trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. So many are like the Galatians, though, the Judaizers that came into the Galatian region. They say, well, it's a little bit of faith and a little bit of works. It's not. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is grace, God's grace, plus your faith in God's grace that equals salvation. And it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with works. So I appreciate you calling in, Jay. Thank you for those questions. Well, we have Betty on the line from Tennessee. Betty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you. I love your program. I listen every day, and I love it when you and your wife are on. I just wanted to mention that that my husband was a Baptist preacher for 50 years, but we pastored First Baptist Church out of in Olive Branch, Mississippi, just out of Memphis. And, oh, Dr. Rogers was such a blessing to us, and took this little young country preacher at that time, took him under his wings, helped us to get into Mid-America Seminary. And he was just such a blessing. He and Joyce would come on Monday nights. We could get him on Monday nights, you know, to come down. We'd have a special service, and he'd come down, and just such a blessing. And I just wanted to mention that, and, you know, so.
Anyway, yeah, he was.
And you know what? I was.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, keep going.
Well, I was just going to mention that man before was talking about grace. I always think of, I know you, the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. Uh-huh. You know, that acrostic's always been a blessing to me about that. So,
amen.
You were going to say what, man? I'm sorry.
Well, Adrian was just, he was just so genuine, and he enjoyed meeting people because I think he really saw himself as, you know, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm his witness. How would Jesus treat this person? Because all of us get busy. All of us get, and if especially as a pastor, if you're not careful, you can get tunnel vision. You can get so focused on this goal that you're trying to achieve that you can forget the people that you're passing by. And you know, I think about how Jesus recognized and looked at Zacchaeus, so the person everybody hated, Jesus loved that guy, and Jesus saw him. He gave him a look. He gave him a word. He saved his soul. He ate at his house. It was awesome. And so we want to be people who see other folks. We want to see the lost. We want to not get so tunnel vision that we miss sight of this person. You could make this person's day in 2 minutes just by spending some time with them, just by giving them a hug, just by praying over them. And Adrian, I remember he did say this. He said, you know, when you're in the hallway as a pastor, he's talking to pastors. He said, you're in the hallway and somebody says, Pastor, will you pray for me about X? He said, you know, your mind can only remember so many things. And so, you know, he said, pray for him right then, because you're probably going to forget if you don't. So just right then say, well, let's pray about this test that you have coming up at the doctor's. Let's pray about this situation with your son, with your mother, with your wife, or whatever it might be. And it's just, you know, in a 45-second prayer, then you've prayed for that person. You've made that person feel special, and they have been listened to. And that just goes a long, long way. And so I learned that from him at that conference more than anything else, how he was with people. And people are watching. You know, Solomon said, I'm just a lad. I don't know how to go in or how to come out. And how you go in a room and how you leave a room, very important. You always want to be somebody that spreads the joy of the Lord and brightens a room when you enter it, not by brightening it by leaving it. And some people are like, man, I couldn't wait for that guy to leave because he was just such a downer. So thank you for calling in, Betty, and thank you for sharing that testimony. Well, we have my friend Naomi from Pennsylvania. Hi, Naomi.
Well, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm happy to hear again, you know, your voice speaking about so many beautiful things, you know, and how the Lord in those little things, you know, it makes us to go, you know, and do for other people, you know, just like you say, you know, just give a hug or just ask that person, You know, how you feeling today? Every time, you know, I go to the service, I ask the Lord and I say, please, Lord, use me today. How can I be used for, you know, for someone there, they need a word of encouragement, or, you know, they need something. And the thing that I also do is that every month, you know, I use a person without they knowing, you know, to do something nice for that person. You know, I go to the Giant, I buy a half a red roses or pink or whatever, any color, and I put it, you know, in a vase with a note and say, I just saw about you today and I want just to bring you a smile on your face. And the person say, hey, what did I do? And I said, you don't do nothing. I just choose you. You know, because we had to do those little things, you know, for others. Don't be, like you said, you know, so busy that you cannot have time for that person, you know, just right. Like Jesus saw the two, you know, the two disciples in the way of the Emmaus, you know, in Luke chapter 24. He saw them and he saw that they were sad.
Yeah.
Take a notice. You know, they were sad, and he right away said, why do you are so sad?
Right.
You know, because they say in their mind, they thought that, well, we lose all our hope. And Jesus came and he said that he's going to rise again. And hey, he's look all this day and we don't see him. No. And that's when come Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1-2. You know, the faith is not something that we see. Faith is, you know, to have hope. So we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring our hope to others, so others can do the same thing for others' people.
Amen.
They come into their way.
Amen. That's a good word for sure. Well, Naomi, I thank you for calling in. You're always such a blessing. I love the fact that your life is just steeped with the Word of God, and you are being His witness and a faithful witness. So God bless you. You always encourage my heart.
Oh, praise He and hallelujah, because He gave us, you know, the love and the courage to let others know. So keep it a good word, Jeff. And may the Lord bless you and your family forever. Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Well, we just have about a minute, so we have Robin from Virginia. Robin, we just got about 60 seconds.
Okay, I'll make this very short. And I also, too, was just very blessed just by listening to her, the previous caller, Naomi. But I think that's this point I wanted to make about Adrian Rogers. Anybody on radio, I really appreciate radio so much, because I feel like if God uses us, not just how we look in the physical three-dimensional world, but if your voice comes across the radio, just like you, Pastor Shreve, I feel like for years I appreciated the tone of Adrian Rogers' voice, the whole, like a different instrument in the orchestra. You know, there's different colors, there's different flavors. And so if God uses us in our tone of voice, sometimes, you know, you create a picture and a whole feel about a person just based on how they're speaking to you. So I appreciate your ministry for that. I appreciate Adrian Rogers and so many. I really appreciated the interview that you had with his sons, and that was such a blessing.
Amen.
So thank you so much. And God
hey,
bless.
Thanks, Robin. God bless you. Well, put your Christianity into practice today. Go out and shine and share and pace your way to a life that pleases God. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.